Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church in our prayer room ministry. And I'm so delighted today to be back on our radio broadcast on today. We're just going to give God all the praise and all the glory today. I just magnify his holy name today. Just give me just a brief second. You know how the devil is and how he works against our ministry. Yes, God, I just thank and praise God for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast on today. We're going to be studying today on the Ark of the Covenant, but right now we're going to have a short devotion so we can get right into our word. We're going to have a song. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer. Amen. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all kings, above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways, until whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. I have just read you from Psalms 95 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're just going to have a song.
Help me, Lord.
Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace today, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, God, just repenting and confessing and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we come, Lord Jesus, just first of all, giving you praise and glory. Just magnifying your name on tonight. Just glorifying you, God. Just bringing you worship, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just come lift you up tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bind the strong man from our lives on tonight, God. We bind up the strong man from this radio broadcast in the name of Jesus. We bind up every witch, wizard, warlord, every psychic, every demon on assignment. We bind you right now. We serve you eviction notice right now. Get away in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, you say whatever I bind on earth here, it's already bound in heaven. And whatsoever I loose on earth is already loose in heaven. Father, I just thank you and I praise you on today for binding them. I bind them and I cast them out and I command them to go in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to just move self out of the way. Let Deborah decrease that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us. Move self out of me, God. Save me from my own self. Hallelujah. Move it, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that I may be used by the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I ask you tonight, God, to open up our minds and our hearts and our spirit that we may understand your word, God. Teach us your word, God. Line upon line, precept on precept. Father, I ask you right now, God, to bless everyone under the sound of my voice, God. Bless tonight. Encamp angels all around about them to protect them from all hurt or all my danger. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen. And praise the Lord, you all. We're not going to do the regular Bible study tonight. It is on the Bible. It's still dealing with the Ark of the Covenant. That's what we're going to be talking about on tonight. By the grace of God, we're going to, I'm just going to read some more things about the Ark, and this is going to be the last time we deal with the Ark of the Covenant while we're in Exodus. We will deal with it again, but not for a while. On Thursday night, I won't be able to be on because I'll be on the train, but in Tuesday, I won't be able to do it because I'll be on the train. So after tonight, I probably won't do it again until Thursday. It's going to be a week. Anyway, not unless and I do it Wednesday and I do it where I'm going. I may be able to do it Wednesday. I'll let you know. And what I'll be talking about is who changed the Sabbath. That's what I want to discuss. So I may be able to do it. I will let you know that Monday, what I'm talking about, Wednesday, that Monday instead of Tuesday, but I will let you know on that. Amen. So we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. It says, it is interesting that the Apocrypha indicates that the Ark of the Covenant could not be found when the temple in Jerusalem was rebuilt. And the second temple, the Temple of Zerubbabel, which was built during the time of Ezra and Zechariah, the Apocrypha gives a reason for the stating that Jeremiah hid the Ark of the Covenant in a cave on Mount Nebo before the Babylonians came and conquered Jerusalem. So Sunday night, let's see, was it Sunday night? Today is Tuesday. I think it was Sunday night. We were looking at the Scientific Channel or the Discovery Channel, whatever it was, it had things on there about the Ark of the Covenant, and Apostle James was telling me I should be watching it. But they were saying a whole lot of things about Jeremiah. I don't know, maybe some of it was true, maybe some of it wasn't, but he was talking about a woman and all this kind of stuff. But I see it's mentioned it here too as well, because it was in that era. So it said it was in Ezra and Zechariah area. I don't know about Jeremiah, but I think Jeremiah played a big part with the, I don't know. I can't even say whether I believe or not, but it says he hid the Ark of the Covenant. That's what it says. It is also explained that the location of the Ark of the Covenant would not be revealed until God determined time. It says something about a second Maccabees chapter 2, verse 4 through 7. It must be another book. I know what that is. It was also in the same document that the prophet, having received an oracle, ordered that the tent and the ark should follow with him, and that he went out to the mountain where Moses had gone up and had seen the inheritance of God. Jeremiah came and followed and found a cave dwelling, and he brought there the tent and the ark and the altar of incense. Then he sealed it up, and then he sealed up the entrance of that cave. Some of those who followed him came up intending to mark the way, but could not find it. And when Jeremiah learned of it, he rebuked them and declared, "The place shall remain unknown until God gathers his people together again and show his mercy." So this was on Mount Nebo before the Babylonians came and conquered Jerusalem. He hid the ark, and they are still looking for the ark today. Somebody trying to get, it says web root. What is web root? It says web root. Secure anywhere would like to access files in your download folder. I don't know them people. Excuse me, y'all. No. Anyway, y'all know I just got scammed. The devil is alive. Okay. And it says, "This place shall remain unknown until God gathers his people together again and shows mercy." So God's going to show his mercy through this whole thing. He's going to show mercy. And that's when Jeremiah will let people know where the Ark of the Covenant is. They searching for it every day. They can't find it. Many Jews in Israel today believe that the Ark of the Covenant will be found when the Messiah comes. And some people of the above passage in the Apocrypha, is in the Apocrypha. Historical Christianity rejected the Apocrypha and the Book of Maccabees as part of the canon of scriptures, but only useful religious and historical references in some cases. Philo and Joseph also rejected the Apocrypha. The writings of the Apocrypha were not admitted into the Bible by Jews or Christians until the 4th century A.D. For further references, some see the book From God to Us by Norman Geisler and William Nix in 1974. That's in the Moody Press. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant and the New Testament. When Pompey conquered Jerusalem in 63 B.C., he entered into the Holy of Holies and referred to it as an empty room. And during the New Testament,
the Ark of the Covenant was not in the temple of Herod in Jerusalem. It is uncertain on what the blood was sprinkled on the Day of Atonement by the high priest. Jewish tradition mentions an altar stone raised up slightly above the floor. It is amazing that something so powerful in ancient Old Testament times could just disappear from history. But the thing is, they was just saying that Jeremiah put it in a cave. But we're gonna read on. Absolutely no mention of what happened to it until the New Testament revealed that it is in the heavenly temple. That's in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4, and Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 9, 11 through 12. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Revelation 11 and 19, and the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there was lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquakes in the great hall. So the Father know where, he already know, he probably told Jeremiah where to put it at. But it's not saying that, and it's not a certainty to it. But scientists, they're looking for that ark every day. I just saw it on the television the other day. They're still searching for it. Okay, the Ark of the Covenant in archaeology. Has the Ark of the Covenant been discovered, or does anyone have any idea of where it is? Although there are various many claims that the Ark of the Covenant has been seen or discovered, there is no evidence of this. This is no archaeology society or organization that has recognized the discovery of the Ark of the Covenant. In an exclusive interview with Bible History Online, and it has some different ones, of the Temple Mount, was asked about the Ark of the Covenant and whether anything has been discovered. And he said no, and there won't be, because we know already from the book of Maccabees that it was hidden already inside of Jerusalem, according to tradition, on Mount Nebo in Transjordan. And we asked where the best possible choice of the location of the Ark of the Covenant could be based on archaeology. His reply was, I would state on Mount Nebo. That's where it is. Another interesting question was asked Dr. Bahat was if there has been any relevance to sightings anywhere in Jerusalem of the Ark of the Covenant, or things like Jeremiah Grotto has replied was rubbish, all rubbish. Does the Ark need to be discovered before the building of the third temple? The Ark of the Covenant would be a remarkable discovery and would certainly stimulate excitement and enthusiasm in Jews around the world, but it does not necessarily need to be discovered for the building of the third temple in Jerusalem. Now, let me tell you, the Ark of the Covenant is the mercy seat where God would meet people. That's where God would be at. So God must have instructed, now I'm not saying this really happened, but he had to probably instruct Jeremiah to put it somewhere, because it was his mercy seat, and it was where he would be, where he would reside when he wanted to communicate with the people, with the priests. So, and they talking about a third temple being built, obviously, the Jews built the second temple with no Ark of the Covenant, and God blessed the Zerubbabel's temple. And even in the time of Herod's temple, there was no Ark. Yet Jesus referred to it as my Father's house. It is clear from the scriptures that there will be a third temple during the tribulation, and that the Antichrist would take his seat there in that temple. In our interview, okay, we're not doing no interview. Let me see. Jerusalem about to build, okay. They asked Dr. Behat. We asked him if there was any talk in Jerusalem about building a third temple, and what about the dome of the rock. His reply was, it cannot be. We must wait for the Messiah to come, and positionally, it is not possible for the dome of the rock to stand where the temple stands, because there are the same place. It must be only by divine power was the Ark of the Covenant similar to the Egyptian Ark. You know, it's a whole lot of things that we can say of the Ark of the Covenant, but it will not be found, and it will not come to fruition until the Messiah come back, because that's where God dwelled at. He's not, if he didn't want, if a person touched the Ark, they would die. They would fall dead. Even when the priest went in that second temple, or went in the first temple, when the priest went in the first temple, they had to have a rope tied around them or some bells on them so people would know. Because if they wasn't right, not one little bit, an inch off, they was hitting the floor. So when you go before God, you can't go. And they knew that they couldn't go any kind of way. Aaron, all of them, his son, they had to be right before they went in the holies of holies talking to God. That's why no any person, any kind of people could go in that holies of holies behind the veil to talk to God. Let alone about touch the Ark of the Covenant. If it's going to fall, let it fall. You better not touch it, because you was going to die, just like the man did. So that's what I believe in my heart, that God had Jeremiah to put it up until it was time for him to come back. And when he get time, that Ark of the Covenant going to show up. Okay. And it's showing, and it has some pictures. And I'm on page 17. It has some pictures of the Egyptian Ark on their monument. What is it? Monument. On a monument where, like the Hebrew Ark, carried by poles or men's shoulders. Some had on the cover. Let me see. Some had on the cover two winged figures like cherubims, but between these were the material symbol of Zeus, and the ark was carried about in procession to make a show before the people. The Ark of the Covenant, on the contrary, was marked by the absence of any symbol of God. It was never carried in procession. When moved, it was carefully covered up from the eyes, even the Levites who bore it, who held it with the poles. In Numbers chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, and Numbers chapter 4, verses 19 through 20, they shall not go to see it when the holy things are carried, lest they die if you saw it. So it says nobody has ever seen God and lived. So it's just like I'm saying, it's like God was sitting right there. That's where he would meet the Levites, the priests and stuff. Okay, 1 Samuel 6 and 19, says that about dying. In the tabernacle, the ark was withdrawn from view in the mysterious holies of holies. They took it from, or they covered it. Whatever they did, they knew they wasn't supposed to be showing the Ark of the Covenant. Okay. The Bible mentions of the Ark of the Covenant Numbers chapter 10, verse 33. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey in the Ark of the Covenant. With the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them 3 days' journey to search out resting place. So that's what they were searching for. They were searching for somewhere to put the Ark of the Covenant. And Jeremiah probably found the place. Now, Jeremiah is not close to numbers in books. It's way on down the line. So they had to be searching for years and years. Joshua chapter 3, verse 17 says, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Joshua 4 and 7 says, then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So they was moving the Ark of the Covenant in Joshua. And in Numbers as well. So they was moving it to wherever God wanted it to be. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. So they were still moving it. They were trying to find a place for it. Joshua 4 and 18 says, and it came to pass when the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up unto the dry land, and the waters of the Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. So God lifted the priest up. The soles of the priest's feet were lifted up unto the dry land. So I guess that was almost like walking on water. But he just kind of elevated them onto the dry land. Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests burned the Ark of the Covenant before the people. So the priest was carrying it, and that's why he lifted the priest up, because they had the Ark of the Covenant. Well, you may as well say that God was on that Ark of the Covenant, because that's what he was dwelling right there on the mercy seat between the cherubim. And it's just some scriptures here where it says, Exodus 25 and 16 says, and thou shalt put the ark, the testimony which I shall give thee. Exodus 25 and 21 says, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. Exodus 40 and 20 says, and he took and put the testimony into the ark and set the staff on the ark and put the mercy seat above the ark. Let me see if I can find out what the testimony is. Because we need to know that. That was Exodus chapter 40. It's a good thing to know what that was, the testimony. Let me see. And I know I'm going before. I'm reading a little before, but I just want to give you as much as I can about this, about the Ark of the Covenant. It's amazing. It's amazing. I don't want to read all this either. So let me see. I'm looking for the testimony. Just 1 minute, y'all. If I have to read it, I'll be on. Because my eyes not seeing it. But anyway, I'm going to start right here. It says the book opened with the Hebrew word Vayikra, which means, and he called. And God has now moved to the tabernacle and speaks from there. He no longer speaks from the Mount Sinai. He calls the people. And I'm reading from the book of Leviticus right now. Wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be in Leviticus? Y'all help me here. No wonder I can't find it. Jesus, maybe I was supposed to be reading, but I'll go back and read it. Maybe it's for me to read. Give me just 1 second. Okay, and it says, in this chapter, the tabernacle is set up. I want to deal with only one thing because we have already dealt with every article of furniture in the garment of the priest. And we haven't gotten this far, but I'm trying to find out what the testimony is. So it says, when Apostle Paul's attempt to identify the Israelites in the book of Romans, he enumerate from other people. One was the Shekinah glory. In Romans chapter 9, verse 4, the Israelites were the only people to ever have the glory of God. Ooh, Jesus, the visible presence of God. Let me tell y'all, that's what that is. He's sitting on the mercy seat. The glory of God is there. You see how God connected that from me preaching on the weight of God's glory? Man, this is some awesome stuff. This is what led them through the great and terrible wilderness. The cloud was lifted in the morning if they were to journey that day. If it did not lift, the children of Israel stayed in the camp. They did not attempt to move that day. They never moved by their own wisdom of judgment. They did not vote on whether or not they should move, and Moses did not make the decision. The cloud did. Okay, I'm just trying to, because I'm only trying to read this to see what the testimony was. And that's, okay, I'm going to read because chapter 40 only have 4 verses in it. So I'm going to see if I can find out right here, okay. We sometimes say in our churches that Christ is the head of the church. How about your church? Is he the head of your church? Are we following the cloud today, or do we put a man on the church board because he is successful businessman? You hear people say today, I want to talk to my preacher about this problem. I want to tell him to tell me what to do. We, and I'm just reading out this commentary now, we who are pastors are not experts at telling people what they should do. We cannot solve everyone's marital problems, but there is a pillar of cloud today, although most people do not see it. It is the Holy Spirit of God. He ought to be the one to lead us and guide us. he is neglected. We are always appealing to someone human or something outside of God for help, but we need preachers, teachers, and laymen who are filled with the Spirit of God. Our churches need leaders who pay attention to the Word of God and who want to do the will of God. There is no visible cloud over the church today. So what y'all think the testimony is? I'm going to find out because I'm not letting y'all off this land today till I find out what the testimony of God is. I just can't. It's just something that we need to know what the testimony. Don't let me have to preach on this Sunday. I ain't even going to be. But we need to find out what the testimony of God is.
You said the testimony of God?
Yes, ma'am.
The testimony, is it Jesus? No.
I don't know.
You don't know?
Spirit of... Huh? I'm just like y'all. I'm trying to fan out. The testimony is the self-revelation of God. It represents God's heart desire, which is also God's requirement, or we may say God's standard. His standards reveal himself, showing us what a God he is. When this testimony comes to man, it becomes law. So the testimony that he put in the tabernacle was law. Testimony is the self-revelation of God. Christians is in general, especially within the evangelical tradition, use the term to testify or to give one's testimony to mean to tell the story of how one became a Christian. Is that what a testimony is? Commonly, it may refer to a specific event in Christian's life in which God did something deemed particularly worth sharing. So that's what it means. That's what a testimony is. But I was just talking about the testimony of Jesus Christ, which... it's the spirit of prophecy to me. It's in Revelations 19, verse 10. Let me read it. I don't even have it. Where am I put it? Where am I find it? Revelations 19, chapter 10. I'm going to read it. Revelations 19. This is the kind of stuff I be wanting to know. I don't want to force knowing stuff because God wants us to know what he wants us to know. And when he get ready for us to know it, we're going to know it. And I fell at his feet to worship him. That's verse 10. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. To have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's exactly what it says. It's the spirit of prophecy. Acts 3 and 12. Let's see. Acts chapter 3 and 12. Because we need to know. So if somebody asks us, we'll know. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Okay. It's says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name have made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him have given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And Peter was just trying to tell them to repent, because they, you know. Anyway, it's the spirit of prophecy, and that's a blessing for us to know. And we still, we'll do some more studying on it, but not now. Does anybody have anything they want to add or put in there? Because, you know, I'm just talking and trying to, because we're not, you know, we studying it, but I just want to make sure everybody knows at least something about the Ark of the Covenant. Even the furnishing, what they put inside the ark, that they put.
Excuse me, Apostle.
Uh-huh.
What's the? I got a quick question.
Okay.
What's the Ark of the Covenant like? Was it like the altar?
It's a. Well, you know what. You can say that, but you couldn't get close to the Ark of the Covenant like you can walk up to an altar, because God was sitting on it. It's like a Prophet Salah was saying, it's like a chest, but it's not like a chest of drawer, but it's like a chest, just like she said. And but the thing, the difference about it was a holy place. It was holy, and he had two angels with wings, and they was facing each other. And I know for myself that them angels facing each other means something. But right there, he dwelt right there where the angels tip of their wings and they face met. That's where God said it, and that ark on the top was the mercy seat. So anytime the priest would go to offer sacrifices for the people's sins and all of our sins, they would take the sacrifice there. But they wouldn't let people see the ark. You better not come talking about you're going to see it, because you was going to die. So they would cover it so you can see it, because no man has seen God and lived. So, and God was right there. So it was more like a chest, not too big. I say my nightstand, but it's bigger than that. But it was one tall. It wasn't that tall, but it was wide. And I don't know how tall it was, y'all. I'm sitting up here talking, but just me looking at it on picture, just like you all looking at it on picture. But it wasn't as big for them men to carry with them poles, because God didn't want the men too close to him. So he had some long poles out there. Mm-hmm. And it was holy. It had to be holy. And you couldn't get too close to God. Not too close to him at all. And, you know, it might have been like the altar. I don't know, but the altars today, it wasn't like, because you can go to the altar and kneel down at the altar. You couldn't go up to that altar and kneel for nothing. Because like I said, when they put him behind the holies of holies, when the priest went in, they had to have a rope or something to tie around them because the glory of God was so heavy. The weight of the glory was so heavy upon them, they would hit the floor. You can't go before God any kind of way. And then if you do go before him, you're still going to be so drunk and out of it, you're not going to know. You're going to be drunk with the glory of God. It's amazing. It's amazing. Just the little anointing that I feel. When I felt some, just a few minutes ago, but not like I did one time. I had been praying for a while. And I went back down in that basement to pray again and looked like he laid his hand on my head and I couldn't move my head. I wasn't afraid, just a little bit, y'all, because I didn't know what it was on my head. So what come I can't raise my head about? I didn't want to do nothing, you know, just off that'll make it him upset. So I stood there. I sit there first. Then I stood up. My head still couldn't come up. It was something heavy on my head. I didn't know what it was. I had never, all the things I've experienced, I have never experienced the glory of God like that. So when I talked to Prophetess Rachel, I was telling her, I said I had this experience in the prayer room where I felt like God had his hand on my head and he wouldn't let my head up. And she just said that was the anointing. You had a heavy anointing of glory of God on you. And that's what it was. And so sometimes, like now I feel the power of God. I feel his glory because when you feel it, it's like heat in on you. It's like now we got our air on, but the heat just be on your head, be wherever it is. But this was the weight of the God's glory. So a lot of times you may not know what feeling you're having and why you're having it, but it's the glory of God. God does amazing things with his glory. Amen. Anyone else have any comments or anything? This is awesome. And if you don't understand, please let me know. Please let me know if you understand. You know, if you understand a little bit, you good, because we're gonna keep on learning about this. Because as we go through Exodus and Leviticus, and then you're gonna know more and more. It's gonna show up more and more. So the furnishings that was in there, I probably forgot what they were, but I know it was some kind of staff. It was Ten Commandments. I don't know whether it was the incense. It's three things or four things that they put in there, the testimony, the laws, that's the Ten Commandments. That's what they're talking about. And there was a staff or something like that in there. And maybe the incense. But I gotta find them again and know, because I forgot what they were. But we should know what was in that, the Ark of the Covenant. All of us should know it because we went over it. And we talked about this so much until I kind of forgot what we went over in at first. Let me see. I know it was three things. Let me see. And those cherubims had four faces. The Ark of the Covenant was contained God's covenant. Two unbroken stone tablets of the law, the Ten Commandments. Moses also had a golden jar of manna placed in the ark as a reminder of God's faithfulness. God also commanded Moses to place Aaron's rod that budded into the ark as a sign against rebellion. The Ark of the Covenant was also a sign of God's continual presence with his people, just as God revealed himself at Mount Sinai and in the glory cloud that led them through the wilderness. So God would appear between the wings of the cherubim above the mercy seat. And y'all got that in. This is some of the stuff that you all have. So, you know. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to go over and over about the Ark of the Covenant. And in the papers, if you can see, the ones that can see, they got a painting of the tabernacle of Moses. And the priests, they way back from the door, baby. They way back from the entrance. They way back because they cannot go up. It says the history of the Ark of the Covenant. God revealed to Moses on Mount Sinai his plans to build the Ark of the Covenant, the tent of meeting. The tabernacle was erected on the first month in the second year on the first day of the month. The Ark was placed in the holies of holies, and Moses put certain Levites, the Kohathites or whatever that is, in charge of the ark. That's in Numbers. That's why I tell you we're gonna be reading more and more about the Ark of the Covenant, but they were not allowed to touch it. They would move the ark using the long poles after it was covered by Aaron and his sons, because Aaron them was a priest and his sons. With the veil, they had to cover the ark with a veil in order for them to move it, a badger skin and a blue cloth. The ark led the people of Israel through the wilderness and was ahead by a three-day journey until they came to a place where they would set up camp. The ark was with them through all the wilderness journey, but God was with them. They was right there with them. And it's a blessing because it just lets you know that God with you all the time. And we're going to learn, like I said, we're going to learn some more about the Ark of the Covenant. We just wanted to get a little more understanding about a little of it and by us learning what we have, it's going to help us through the other books that we're going to be studying. Amen. Anybody got any comments? Any questions? Well, said I don't really know if I'm going to be able to teach on the train Thursday night. I don't really know because it's a lot of noise on the train. It's a lot of noise. But the next thing we're going to talk about is going to be who changed the Sabbath day to Sunday. What we're going to talk about, and I have scriptures and everything with that. So, you know, and I just thank and praise God for another opportunity to learn more and more from the Word of God. Because, you know, I knew about the Sabbath day. I studied it in school and all of that kind of stuff, but it has never gotten this deep with me because I've been studying on this stuff, and it's deep. It's deep. It'll take you all the way up until now because, like I said, they haven't even found it. They're still looking for the ark, but they are never found that ark until the Messiah come back here because he told them where to put it up. He told Jeremiah to do it, and Jeremiah did it. And when he come back here, he's going to have the Ark of the Covenant with him. Mm-hmm. So, and that ain't long from now, say. Amen. So, we're not going to hold you. I just thank and praise God. I just felt like everything was pretty good with it, you know, because we're learning. we're learning. I'm not sitting up here trying to act like I know everything, because I don't. I don't know nothing. Believe me, without Christ, I know nothing. I don't care what I think I know. And all them titles don't mean nothing, but we need to get right down to it, to the Word of God. And when God give it to us, like he want to give it to us, it's good. You know, I just thank and praise God that he give me what to say and stuff like that. And I'll let y'all know when I'm reading out a commentary and stuff in these papers. I want to make sure I give you all a copy so you can run it off and have this to go back to when you need to. That's the point of me giving it to you. So you can always go back to it when you have a problem or a question with, about the Ark of the Covenant. And the next thing I'm going to give you is who changed the Sabbath day. I'm going to bring it with me Thursday so I can copy for you so you'll have it. Amen. So we're getting ready to close out. I'm not going to keep you because we've got about 3 or 4 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. But I'm still going to go ahead on and let you go. Seem like I always got something to say, but I forget. So, if I do, I remind everybody. But God bless you all. I love you. We, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, and even the ones that come back and listen to this. Lord, bless them, God, and their families. Bless them all and their families. Keep them covered under the shed blood of Jesus. Encamp your angels all around about them to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, thank you for your word on today. Thank you for our understanding of your word, God. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for the Messiah, God. Father, we just ask you right now, God, to lead us and guide us, God, in the name of Jesus, in the way you would have us to go. We thank you. We pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Y'all have the rest of a wonderful night, and we'll talk soon. God bless you. I love you, but I will be on the Facebook Live in the morning because I told them I would at 7 o'clock. I will be on there. I'm just letting everybody know. And you don't have to get on because I know you be sleepy that early, but I'll be on there. So God bless you all. I love you. You all have a good night.
We love you. Good night.
Love you. Good night.
Love you. Good night. Love you. Good night.
Good night. Love you too. Good night.
Be on in the morning. Love you. Good night.
All right. Thank you. Love you. Good night.